Hey, Travis Rogers here. When you're not listening to me on the Lakers pre- and post-game shows, tune in to The Experience with LaFern Cusack, where she goes beyond the play and focuses on athletes, fans, and the biggest events that inspire and shape our community. Listen to The Experience with LaFern Cusack, Sundays, 5 to 6 a.m.
ESPN LA 710.
Welcome to The Experience here on ESPN LA 710. I'm LaFern Cusack. For more information, please log on to ESPNLA.com and go to the radio page. Or check me out on Twitter at LaFern Cusack. Today, we're talking with a team. A team is up here with me today. I have Derek Matthews, a.k.a. D-Smooth. his son, Kai, who is just cringing that I just said that. Coach Nick Middlesworth.
Hi,
and
everybody.
His son, Sam. And they're a winning combination. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Now, I have to say that I came in contact with these fine gentlemen through Derek. Derek's coaching me, trying to whip me back into shape.
And you're doing fantastic, my friend. You are.
Except for the, what are they called when you have to go from high, you drop on the floor, burpees.
No, not burpees.
So not everyone is
Please
a fan
stop.
Of burpees.
It's really something to try to get back into shape when you're older. And like you, Kai and Sam, it's difficult, but he's working with me.
Absolutely.
10 and ages older than that is definitely more challenging every year.
I'm telling my husband, I come back from the gym and we just laugh. I'm like, oh, you won't believe what they had me doing today. And this is how I did it. And we laugh and laugh. He's like, what? He had you bend over? Don't they know children?
Well, you know, it's working out is emotional. So we want to make it fun, challenging. But at the end of the day, it's really about just having a good time.
Yes. Yeah. And Coach Nick, you coach your son and Kai.
Yeah, we've been together for about 6 years now, doing football and basketball all across Los Angeles.
And Sam, how old are you?
I'm 11.
And how long have you been a player for life?
Since I could walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always sports have been my favorite. I mean, like, I like coding and all that stuff, but just sports just stands out to me as the best.
And what about you, Kai? How old are you, Kai?
I'm 10. And I've been playing sports since I moved to Los Angeles when I was 5. And that's just how long I've loved it.
It's in your blood.
Yeah.
Coach, so tell us some of the fundamentals you use to train these winning athletes.
Yeah, well, you know, number one, we always talk about the brotherhood or the fellowship or the teamwork. You know, it's most important that we're building a family and we're building a group of people that love each other and, you know, want to do the best they can for their family. We also talk a lot about confidence. You know, we want the kids to feel good when they're out on the field. So when that's putting on your uniform, when that's marching out on that field, we want them to have their chins held high and their chests out. And we want them to feel really good and excited to play. We talk a lot about, you know, the sacrifice and the dedication that it takes. You can't just be talented. You have to work hard, too. And so between scholastic effort and between athletic effort, you know, we're really trying to build whole people here. We're trying to build great citizens. So that's what it's all about
that's
on our
excellent.
Teams.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I love so much about sports is that you can create that family, right? You can create a well-rounded human being
absolutely.
With the fundamentals of sports and what's needed. Kai, how do you feel about getting on that field?
I feel pretty good because I know I can just go out and do just what I want to do.
You guys ever get nervous before a big game? I mean, you've played in hundreds of basketball and football games.
Sam's shaking his head.
Never that nervous.
Really? No.
Except when it's the Super Bowl. Then we get like a tiny bit nervous, think we're like, nah, we're going to smoke them.
Do Coach Nick and Coach Derek get nervous before games?
Oh, yeah. definitely.
That's a human emotion to get nervous, though. And then how you manage that is really important. And I've been watching you guys play for so long now, and you guys have done fantastic.
Well, yeah, Derek, how do you manage your nervousness for your son going out on the field?
I take a deep breath.
Yes.
You know, I try to calm.
Breathe.
I breathe, which is really, really important. Everything starts with breath.
I wonder where I heard those words before.
7 a.m.
Yes.
Absolutely. In our sessions, it's important to breathe. Yeah. You know, if you're not breathing, you're not alive. So it's really, really important. And I really try to take my, I have to remind myself, this is really about Kai and his teammates having a good time, hopefully. That's what it's really, really about. And I always instill in Kai, too, teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah. But it's really important, though. And you got to go out and support each other.
It is.
Yeah.
And we always try to have fun, but that's not our goal. Like, in some sports teams, the coach is like, have fun. But what he says really goes for all of us. He just says, win.
Yeah. It's true.
Is it all about the winning, coach?
It's all about the winning.
You know, in a lot of ways it is. And I know that's probably difficult for some folks to hear, but I think it's okay because I think that's what makes it fun is the pursuit of victory. We don't get down when we lose, but we definitely get excited when we win. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to have a goal and we want to work toward that. So, you know, Kai, what's Sam's middle name?
Winston.
And that's for a reason. So we love sports and we love to compete and we try to keep it in the proper perspective. It's not life or death. It's just about the joy of it all.
So let's talk about that, the competition. You know, there's competitive and then there's a line where it goes over. How do you teach that? How do you teach a healthy type of competition?
Yeah, you know, you want to always have good sportsmanship. So if we do lose a game, you know, we don't pout. We don't put our heads down. We don't lay blame anywhere. We, you know, take it on ourselves and we say, hey, we've got to get better. I think it's, again, keeping things in perspective and realizing that the winning and losing is focused on the contest itself, not your self-esteem or your worth. So you can lose the game and still not feel bad about yourself. You might feel bad about your performance in that moment, but that's something that you can correct. So again, it's about the confidence, it's about the esteem, and it's about, you know, the pursuit of something special and great. A lot of people treat youth sports like, well, it's just a bunch of kids playing sports. Mm-hmm. But if you treat it like that, then that's the way they'll feel. Mm-hmm. If you treat it like it's the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals, they get so excited, they get so enthusiastic, they mm-hmm. get so passionate. And that's what's pretty exciting to see, at least, you know, maybe in our family.
Do you hear the passion in Coach Nate's voice?
I feel inspired.
Do you hear it?
I want to go out there and do a couple burpees. And
I don't usually see him ever unpassionate.
Yeah.
Say that again.
I don't usually see him ever unpassionate about anything.
No, he's driven. He loves the kids, and they respond to that, mm-hmm. which is really, really important, especially at this stage of their development.
Right.
You know, and we hope that sort of attitude will carry on later on in life, which I think is so important.
It, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, Sam, tell us about how you deliver your confidence on the field.
Well, I deliver my confidence more with anger for the other team.
Of course.
Because I just, like, I better win. And if I don't, I'm going to be mad. So I just, like, whenever they get a big long run, I start, like, chasing them. Like, oh, I got to get their flag. They better not score. And a lot of people on my team call me the Hulk. Because the when I grab a flag, wham, I throw it down on the grass. And everyone just laughs because it's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
But it just drives me to keep going. And when I get that flag and throw it down, I just feel more powerful than I did before.
Yeah. And Kai, how about yourself?
I don't technically show it with anger. I just try and push myself to think, like, not quite push myself, but think, like, if this was, like, the biggest game of the season, what would I actually do? So I treat every game like it's the last game of the season.
Wow. You try to visualize the outcome. Yeah. Yeah. And Kai, you try to put yourself in the big moments mentally.
Mm-hmm. Kai is
100%.
Kai's a very cerebral kid. You know, he's a thinker. He gets that from his mother. He definitely does. He is a thinker, and it shows, too. Sometimes he gets a little down on himself, and we talk about it, and it's one game, and there's another one tomorrow. Just work a little bit harder. If you're giving a good effort, I think that's all that one can ask. Just do your best. Work as hard as you can. And, you know, sometimes the results are going to work out in your favor. You know, and if it doesn't, you know, how can we, what can we do the next time to make it a little bit better?
How do you balance that with your team?
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about role models, and we like to look back on the great ones and see how they did things. So mm-hmm. if you watch interviews with Magic and Bird, Magic would go on the court and he would smile and he would be excited and he would be happy and high-fiving. Bird would be angry. Bird was mean and Bird was not friendly. So they had a different style of play, and I encourage the kids to kind of see what works and what works for you because, you know, we're all different people and we just have to find something that feels good and feels right for us. And you know, if it works out, then that's great.
Now, I saw Sam just light up when he mentioned Bird. Why is that, Sam?
He's a magic guy, actually. Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
What?
He's magic. He's the happy one, always smiling. I play better when I'm angry.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably.
Like, when I'm happy and smiling and talking to people, I brick shots a lot. And then when I'm just, like, mad and in the zone, I, like, drain threes and just jump around, jellying, and just I have more fun when I'm doing well, but I'm always like, keep that angry face, Sam. You're doing well.
You should see him on the court, though, Sam.
Oh.
He goes for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's, Sam's my boy. He is my boy. Yeah. Sam's, he's got great energy. You know, especially on the football field, I noticed, and I share it with Nick. Where does Sam, he always had, like, good hands, but now his hands is just like, it's like they've just grown. I mean, he's got, I see a little wide receiver in his future.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, both of our boys are exceptional athletes, and they are on a team of great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
We have played at Westchester Rec Center and Baldwin Hills Rec Center, mm-hmm. and in the NFL Flag League and in the Pop Warner Football Leagues. So we have met a group of kids and families from all across Los Angeles, and we've come together and been together for many years now. And these are competitive kids and competitive parents, too. So it's created a special group that, you know, I feel like they'll be together for a long, long time.
I agree.
Hopefully decades to come.
I agree. And when we started playing at Baldwin Hills, too, I remember sharing with Kai. I said, you know, growing up in Harlem, you know, my attitude was always, if you want to be good, you got to go where the water's deep, you know.
Yeah.
And we were playing in Westchester, and the league was really good. But when we went to Baldwin Hill, you know, they had to step their game up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because these kids can ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they held their own with these kids. We won the championship when?
Last winter.
Championship last winter.
Yeah.
The first time we played.
We got second
to some
a good group of guys.
A good group. It went to overtime.
Oh right.
With Ari's big shot.
Yeah, our good friend Ari hit a 3-pointer to take us into overtime.
Game shot. Really?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that game, Kai.
So that game, I don't have a super clear memory, but
I do. It's the saddest day of my life.
You know what's in? Maybe you could try and tell it.
Yeah, it was so sad because down three, friend Ari hits a fadeaway bank three. We're all freaking out.
They're going to overtime.
We lose in overtime because I get fouled and the ref doesn't call it and we lose by 1 point.
We could have lost in the regular game because the refs wanted to call the 3-2.
Yeah.
And we were down by 3.
Are we blaming the refs?
Yes.
We've been known to have some problems with the zebra.
He does have the problem.
There was one ref at Baldwin Hills who we just can't stand.
Be positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't like to put that on the refs.
Well, yeah, because the refs, they have a huge job.
Absolutely.
Do it right.
And they can't quite see everything.
Right. So how do you handle that? How did you handle it, Sam?
At the end of the overtime where we lost, I cried at center court. I was so sad.
Oh, Gary, when we won.
Oh, yeah. I was so sad because we come so far, got so close, and then we got 1 point short.
How do you deal with that as a father, Derek?
I've always believed in the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. It was tough. It was tough to see, but that's the nature of the beast. That's sports. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. And how you lose, I think sometimes it's more important than how you win.
Isn't it? So, you know, there's people get participation trophy. Everyone gets a trophy, you know, and a lot of the skills that sports teaches young adults is that you don't always win. And I think that helps in coping when you get older because you don't always get what you want.
I think it builds character. I really do. I really do. You know, you're not going to get everything that you want in life, you know, especially in sports. I agree.
Yeah. Coach?
Yeah, the point is to keep going. The most important thing isn't to win, as my idol Woody Hayes, the old Ohio State football coach, said, it's to have hope.
Now, you see how he just dropped in Ohio.
Yeah. Well, I told you to talk about the Buckeyes in any conversation.
Tell us about your love for Ohio.
Well, my mother and father met at Ohio State. I come from a big Ohio State family, so my brother and sister went there as well. I went to Ohio State, and we have loved the Buckeyes in football and basketball and track and field for, you know, as long as I can remember. But yeah,
it's in your blood.
It's in my blood. And but again, it's really about hope. It's really about coming back and keeping working and saying, okay, can we do this the next time we have an opportunity? And, you know, the guys have done that many times. They've lost many, many, many games, but they've come back many times and had success. So
what do you guys love most? Is it football or basketball?
You can go first, Kai.
It's a question I get asked a lot, and I personally enjoy playing football just a teensy bit more than I enjoy playing basketball.
Do you guys do baseball as well?
No.
No. I would have to agree with Kai. I enjoy playing football more. I enjoy watching football more. And I just enjoy the feel of the game. Like, in basketball, you can't really foul someone. But in football, you get to
You guys like
them.
A little contact.
I like the contact.
You know, and excuse me, and speaking of contact, Kai, share with everyone your experience with playing tackle for the first time.
My one experience playing tackle, I got put as a lineman just because I wasn't either the coach's son or the shortest kid on the team. And personally, it wasn't so much the game that I didn't enjoy. It was just the way that the coaches were, with like them being more devoted to their sons than to everyone else on the team. Mm. And like the way that some of the other parents handled it, like, this is the biggest time in your career, and like in your childhood, you're never going to be able to do this again. Like, it makes no sense to me, like, what they were doing.
And and that one season, he was only like 8. I remember that season where he didn't play with us.
I was 8.
He was 8 years old, and like, that kind of sucks that the coach would put his son. It's like all the kids.
You either had to be the smallest kid or the coach's son to like be actually part of the game.
Yeah, and Kai's so fast, like, and he's strong and he's big, and he's just I'm more strong and big than fast, though.
Kai, how did you manage and work through that difficulty?
When some of the parents tried to come up and talk to me, I would like kind of shut them out of my ear, but at the same time not. So like, if they were actually telling me something good, I would listen. And then
And then
with the coaches being the son, I just tried to play as many games as I could, just not really focusing on what I specifically didn't like about the team.
Sometimes you have to just do your job.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely.
And as the father of a son playing tackle, the question was always asked, Derek, you're going to let your kid play tackle? And I said, you know, this is something that Kai and I had talked about, and with his mom too. It's something that he wanted to do. And I didn't think it would be fair for me to project my feelings onto something that he wanted to do. Like, you want to take a hit? You're going to take a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you need to feel that, you know? And he said, I want to do it. And of course, that first game, when he took that first hit, I was like, I dropped my head like,
oh, right.
He popped back up and he was ready to do it again. And then he took another hit.
It wasn't even a hit. It was just a tiny kid hitting my shoulder pads over and over.
But these kids who they played against have been playing tackle for at least a year. And our kids were playing, most of our kids were playing for the first time. So,
definitely.
But I thought it was personally a good experience, and he enjoyed it. And I asked, would you want to do it again? And your response?
Yes, if I have the right coach.
And I said, if it was Coach Nick,
definitely.
But the coach makes such a difference. And my nephew, a new coach came in, benched him, didn't really play him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really kind of smushed his enthusiasm
Absolutely.
For the game.
Absolutely. Yeah, that can happen.
It's happened in our family.
Absolutely.
As Derek and Kyle
Absolutely.
Described before.
I've only played with a different coach that wasn't Coach Nick like twice, and they were probably the two like of my least favorite seasons as I've ever played.
I really do believe that the coach sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
He or she does. You know, I think in life, I really do. You know,
how do you set the tone from coming in to a new season?
Yeah, you know, I think there always has to be balance to the force, right? To talk about Star Wars a little bit. it's not about any particular player being the superstar. It's about everybody having a responsibility and a role for the team to be great. And, you know, we want the team to be successful. Well, you know, it's a balance. Again, it's a balance between the individual and the team. And we want everybody to be happy, and we want the parents to be happy, and we want the fans to be excited. So we're not just, you know, thinking about one individual player. We're really trying to think about the needs of everybody that's involved in our organization, our family.
You can, but then there's also, you know, the difficulties that come in that you can't satisfy a lot of people.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Absolutely.
You do.
That's no, really, really hard.
Well, you know, again, winning cures all ill. Right? People are satisfied when you do well, but when the team doesn't win, you know, problems crop up. People like to talk about doing things a different way, or maybe this kid should go there, or, you know.
How do you handle that?
You have to listen to a certain degree, but you have to know that you're with the team more than anyone else as a coach. Mm. You know, you're at practice for hours on end, days on end, weeks on end, and you really see the growth. And you have to understand the strengths and weaknesses of every individual. And you have to know them, you know, personally and emotionally, as Derek talks about. Mm-hmm. So it's about caring, and it's about love on a lot of levels as well. But we talk about, you know, really more than just the sports. Again, it's all about, you know, creating this great person. So,
And Coach Derek, you also instill that in your coaching as well for adults.
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
Well, I pretty much know what I'm getting with most kids, but I don't coach kids though. But yeah, with some adults, and especially for those who are just getting into exercising. You know, I work with a lot of people who are doing it for the first time, and I work with a lot of women. A very strong base of women who I work with, and just supporting them, letting them know. As we stated before, as I said to you before, you know, working out is a very emotional experience. Letting them know that I'm here. If you have any questions about things that don't relate to what we're doing, I can't help you out with. You know, because you take on this role of like therapist, like slash coach, and I try to manage that very well. Like personal relationships, marital stuff. I can't help you. I can't. And it's a very intimate relationship between trainer, coach, and client or team, student. And so I...
Because you care.
Absolutely.
Deeply. You know, you care about
I really do. And case in point, when we first met, you know...
I came in late. I said, I'll never come in late again. And then... I came in late again.
I've been there
late.
But that's okay. But I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I said to you, I said, LaFern, I'm very happy to have you here. Thank you for joining the program. You are part of an excellent community. You know, you are supported. These folks have been doing this for a very long time. And I want you to keep in mind, it is just you and I in the room. They're not here. Whatever they're doing, let them do. We're all different. Everyone's fitness level is different. Just do your thing. I'm here to support you. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah, you sure did.
And that's what it's really about. You know, I've been doing what I do for, I don't know how many years between New York and LA, and I really do care about the people that I work with. I really do.
Well, how do you, as a coach, Nick, how do you leave that stuff on the field and not take it home with you? How do you leave that?
Gee, I'm not sure if I've cracked that code yet.
You have to ask his wife.
Sid is here. Here, Sid. Tell us how he handles it.
Do I leave it on the field? Or
come on, Sid. You got to come
I
clean.
Do I pace the floors at night?
No, we do not leave it on the field. It's hard, especially when you're thinking about, you know, these are kids. You know what I mean? And they have so much going on. You know what I mean? And they need a lot of support, I think, especially at this age. And so, no, this... He definitely is pacing, you know, at night, just worried about every individual on that team. Yeah. You know what I mean? And just everything that's going on with them. And he wants to do the right thing, you know, by each of them. Yeah. So
we're unique in a way that we don't have a lot of new kids come on the team every season. So when we go from a football season to a basketball season to maybe a travel basketball season, or even, you know, summer junior lifeguards or swimming or whatever that might be, golf, whatever these guys are into, you know, we're thinking about a lot of stuff with their lives. We're thinking about them as artists. We're thinking about them as mathematicians. We're thinking about, you know, really trying to create, again, this Renaissance person. So they can't put it when you're doing a sport, yeah, it's important to put everything you have into it, but that's not your whole life either. So yeah. It's about, you know, that balance, trying to walk away. And the next day when the sports are over, you know, what else are we going to do? Maybe right. just go to the beach or read a book. And that's pretty special too. So,
you know, when I first met Nick, you know, I didn't know anything about football, really. I mean, I knew about it though, but from a coaching standpoint, you know, so I knew I was out of my league, but I learned a lot just being around Nick. And we bumped heads. And Nick and I, yeah, and we had a moment, you know, where it was like very intense.
That's true. I forgot about that. Absolutely. That was a long time ago.
Absolutely. But it was very intense. But after that moment, I left and I was like, I really like this dude a lot. You know why? Because he cared. He was really passionate, and he brought, I mean, we were in each other's face. Like,
was it that about communication?
Miscommunication. You know, we weren't, you know,
Derek is very passionate, like, you know, all of our moms and dads and family members are, and he wanted the best for Kai, and he needed reassurance that, you know, in this new season, I was still thinking of Kai every bit as much as I was thinking about Sam. You know, when I'm coaching, I have to, you know, put on that role that I am Kai's dad in the same way that I'm Sam's dad, and they needed to be treated equitably, right? And Derek just needed some reassurance. Is Kai in the right spot? Are we doing the right things? Is this the right place for him? And I had to be a little bit aggressive back to Derek and say, yes, it's going to be okay. Trust your boy. We're good.
Absolutely. Right. It was male egos like clashing, but you know, at the end of the day,
we have testosterone. Absolutely. So that happens.
It was heavy. And after that, I was like, you know what? I don't know. I just feel something for Nick that I haven't felt, as far as, you know, with any other coach. It was just like, it was that moment. It was like, you know.
And LaFern, a lot of us have come from all over the country. The Matthews have come from Brooklyn, and my family is from, you know, the Toledo and Detroit area. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have a built-in community. So these teams and this group of people is really, you know, kind of our little small town neighborhood inside of Los Angeles.
Right, because Los Angeles is so spread out.
A big place, God. And you might not always have your next door neighbor bake you an apple pie.
Absolutely.
So how do you build family and community? And we've done that through athletics.
Absolutely. Right. And that's why athletics is the great equalizer. It is in terms of, like, you know, building bridges.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, when we got invited to do this today, I said to you, can Kai bring his buddy Sam?
Oh, yeah.
I said, let's do it. Yeah. And that's why we're here.
Talk about your relationship with Sam, Kai.
As I said, I met him when I was 5. After the first season, he became like my friend. And then after the second, third, and fourth, I'm like, okay, he's going to be one of my best friends, because I can tell that he was one of the nicest kids I know.
So you know, like, when you're on the court or on the field, because you guys know each other so well, how does that play into your game?
Some games it can be good, some it can be bad, some it can be great. And then,
you know, do you have like a sixth sense? Yeah.
Well, I think that me and Kai have a sixth sense, and that's like when we need something, like we can reassure each other, or we can get each other the ball, or we can, when Kai's like, I can tell in his head when he's thinking this right now, he's like, man, I need the ball. And I was like, hey, Luca, get the ball to Kai. He's going to run it for big. And he usually always does, and I am more of a lineman, and he's the running back, so I try to block for Kai. So I'm Kai's front lineman, and I almost lead the way for Kai. And it's like I'm carrying the ball when he's carrying the ball.
The same level of excitement.
Can yes,
I share
exactly.
something with you? I don't know if I might be getting off track. But I remember, Kai likes to run the ball. Uh-huh. And Coach Nick has said to me, you know, Derek, Kai's going to be big. Look at his thighs. I see him. He's going to be a running back. I'm like, I don't know. You might know better than I do. But true story, Kai used to dance a lot when he was younger.
Absolutely.
And Kai was a big fan of Michael Jackson. And I'm not getting off track. And I showed Nick and Sid a picture of Kai at a recital when he was younger. And just his awareness of being on stage, and just what he learned from his dance teacher. For some reason, I sort of connected that with his fancy footwork on the football field.
Absolutely, 100%.
I did.
Laferne, you and I were talking about that earlier as it relates to soccer. I mean, footwork is everything in sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother actually was a dance major at Ohio State, and she used to talk about a lot of the football players that would take ballet classes
with her
flexibility and for footwork.
Not surprised.
And so when I hear that a kid's a dancer or also an entertainer, because I've met a lot of very high-level athletes that tell me they love sports because they like to perform.
Mm-hmm.
They like to be on stage.
Absolutely.
They like the fame. They like the cheers and the excitement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whatever gets you, you know, wanting to play sports, I say absolutely.
Right.
We kind of model a lot of our teams off those 1980s Miami Hurricanes. We like to dance. We like to party in the end zone. We like to have a good time.
Yeah.
So that's more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Making a big play is great, but when these guys, you know, 11 guys or 5 guys celebrating after a big score or a big touchdown in the end zone who have known each other for five years.
You should see this, LaFleur.
That's the fun.
We have our own dance.
It's like seeing, you know, 11 brothers, you know, having a dance party.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they've come up with their own dance moves and celebrations.
Yep.
And it's about the party for us. Individual dances.
It's always a group dance.
We do, like, I think the 80s Redskins team did this. I think it was called the Fun Bunch. They all jumped up and high-fived, and we did a dance kind of like that. We jumped up in there and held up the number one, and we connected the one and made it one big one, and we're like, and then we just shout,
teamwork. These guys are case
teamwork,
in point
buddy.
For the performance of athletics.
I'm not sure it's the
sports as much as it is the Hollywood of it.
But you guys do play in Los Angeles, so.
Well, that's right.
But there is all of that. And when you're able to go outside of the sport, doesn't it train your muscles to do something different? So it's dancing. You're quicker. You know how to maneuver. Or
look at all these European players that have come to the NBA that grew up playing soccer. They have created the Eurostep. They've changed the game in terms of passing. You know, when you bring multidisciplinary efforts to athletics, the results go up exponentially.
Steve Nash was a great example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Another kid that grew up playing soccer that took the soccer skills to the NBA.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, these guys.
Footwork.
Footwork. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you look at a youth athlete.
Yeah.
How do you determine their skill set? What's your eye, coach?
Very good question.
That is a good question.
Very.
Speed, you know, as they say, speed kills. So I always like it when we find somebody that's really fast. Toughness is definitely important. You got to be able to, what do they say? The best ability is availability.
Well.
So when you get knocked down, you have to be able to get back up. You know, I think someone that's willing to work, it's not necessarily, all these guys are just such great pure athletes, but it's also about skills development. It's about putting in the time and putting in the work to learn how to catch. It isn't natural to shoot a basketball.
Right.
It's a motion that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to train your body for that.
Yeah.
So dedication and desire are huge elements of, you know, what makes a great athlete.
And one thing about, there's so many great things I could say about Kai, but he listens. He pays attention. And that's how you learn. You know, I really think it's important. You know, sometimes you just got to close your mouth, keep your ears open, and just listen to what is being said to you. That's, I think that's one of his great strengths.
Definitely.
He listens. And I'm going to give his mother credit for that, too.
It's true. They're all very smart boys.
They're smart boys. I mean, they really are.
And they absorb things quickly. And I can give them an instruction.
Absolutely.
And I know they'll go and execute.
He can execute. He followed through. And when he wants to be good at something, Kai, I don't know. YouTube, it's just like, and he just
film
will
study,
like,
for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He'll just like,
right.
I'm like, what you doing, Dad? I think this, Kai, Dad, I think this might help me this week.
Oh, wow.
Well, do what you got to do, buddy.
Yeah.
That's his homework.
My son was watching YouTube soccer videos, right?
Yeah.
And then we got him into soccer.
Right.
And his first day on the field, he was like doing tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the parents turned to us and said, has he been doing this for a long time? Like, this is his first
And you know something? You can't teach that.
Yeah, yeah. There are children with natural gifts.
They just have it. And certain things you can't teach.
And sometimes your gifts come out at different points in your life, too. Absolutely. Some of us, you know, start off at 5, ready to go. Some of us, it takes a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Not everybody reaches the NBA at 17. Some folks do it at 23. Right. So when you see someone with the natural abilities, as your son has, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's exciting.
That's what you have to nurture.
Yep. Now,
but you have to nurture it.
Yes. Right, Derek.
Yep. And you have to push it.
Yep.
You know, yep. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm. As Sam and Kai, you mentioned your favorite player basketball is, you both love LeBron. Can you tell, you know, we're talking about the work that you put in on and off the field and off the court. Tell us what you see in LeBron, Sam.
Well, I see that LeBron is not only such a great scorer, but he's such a great passer. And that's what I, like, idolize, because when he goes like this and fakes a pass left and goes to the corner and somebody knocks down the three, I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. That would look awesome. And I try to do that with my passing. I'm not more of a shooter. I'm a passer, and I like to, and I admit that.
You think
that.
You are, buddy? Yes, you are.
And it's
I like
just
the attitude.
Kai, what do you like about LeBron?
Along with his passing and his ability to score from pretty much anywhere,
yeah.
He's also a very good defender, and he can help his team win games with his defense sometimes. And like you always say, defense wins offense. Gives tickets, defense wins championships.
Yeah.
were you always a LeBron fan? Because this is the first time that I hear, because I told you, I've always, you know how I felt about LeBron.
I think I was a Kevin Durant fan.
And then he left OKC, and it drove me crazy.
Kai asked me a question.
Because I don't like the Warriors.
Dad, if you were starting a 5.
Yes,
this is generational now.
I always ask him if he could pick a starting 5 from any generation, who would it be?
And who would be my first pick? What did I say?
He says Magic Johnson
absolutely.
A lot. Kareem, sometimes.
Yeah.
He says it every once in a while, but he usually has Magic Johnson throughout the whole thing.
Magic Johnson changed the game.
He was a six nine
point guard.
You know how many? Times I've heard that from you?
Absolutely.
He changed the game. About once a minute, Dad.
One too many.
Maybe he changed the game.
One too many.
Yeah, yeah.
Were Magic and LeBron hard workers? Have you guys read or heard any news about?
Sure. I've definitely seen and heard about how much they both put work into the way that they can play the game.
Absolutely.
Also off the court, they're amazing too. Oh. Like
amazing.
LeBron
people.
Does all these charities, and like Magic. I did a project in second grade about him, I think, and it said that he had HIV and that he told people that, hey, I'm okay, guys. You don't have to be afraid, because at that time that HIV was very unknown
absolutely.
To people. And when they found out he had it, he's like, hey, I'm still playing. And he played like 2 seasons with HIV. Mm-hmm. And he's still living today, which is amazing, because everyone thought he was going to die and everyone was so scared for him because they loved him. But he was never nervous, and he still
super
was brave.
Absolutely.
He was brave.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And LeBron does all these charities. And
LeBron was at your school this week, huh?
Yeah, yeah. LeBron was at our
what?
School.
Yeah.
Crossroads Point WNS.
Did you get to beat him? So here's what happened.
You were there, Nick?
I was at the game.
I was in traffic.
What?
Don't talk about that frustration.
He wanted to go. We were there, and so was Lance Stevenson
and
Rondo. Yeah.
I saw the
I gave a 5 to Rondo and Lance, and then I said, sup, LeBron? And he said, man, I'm going home. And I was like, what? Come on. I was laughing
His
so hard.
His boys were at Sam's school for basketball
That's
games
right.
this week.
Oh, yeah, like, Bron.
Crossroads played
That's
Westside
right.
Neighborhood
That's
School
right.
in the 6th and the 8th grade team.
6th grade lost by 1 point, and 8th grade.
Bron posted about it on Instagram.
He did? They beat us by a good 55 points.
Really?
The 8th grade team did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dimed. He almost dunked a few times. And, like, when you're in eighth grade and you can dunk in a game, that's pretty crazy.
I think he's
playing varsity.
I definitely think he should be playing varsity because if when hit.
No, Bronny is in varsity. He's in eighth.
No.
Oh, right?
High school varsity.
Yeah. He's in junior varsity. But he's just, he's so good, and he has the size that if you should play him up, and that will give him just a little bit more of a challenge than him playing against a bunch of kids that can't quite be doing exactly what he's doing and stop him.
Yeah. I don't think they could stop him in high school either.
No.
Kid legit.
And you guys were also talking about Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Barry is my idol for a lot of reasons. One, he, just the way he is, he's a quiet guy, which is kind of the opposite of me, but I kind of want to be like that. I want to,
I respect his humbleness.
I don't necessarily use it all the time, but I respect it. And he, the way he plays football is amazing. How he, moves his hips and runs around defenders and spin doesn't moves. Get touched, spin moves, jukes, all that stuff. And then he also shares the same birthday as me. And yeah,
he also went out on his own terms too. I believe so.
Yeah.
You know, he could have played another year or two and probably broken
Walter Payton's record, but he chose to. He only played in the league about good 10, 11 seasons, and he was a few hundred yards away from breaking Walter Payton's record for most rushing yards of all time. And he left the game because he didn't want to break his friend's record. He didn't want to break a person that he loved record because he thought it was more important to them than it was more important.
Mm.
He thought it was
more important to Walter.
Yeah, because Barry never won a Super Bowl. Barry wasn't even on that good of Lions teams, but he still worked his butt off. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And Walter, he went to a Super Bowl with the 85 Bears, and he won a Super Bowl. But he didn't get one touchdown. So I thought that was pretty sad. And I think Barry felt pretty bad for him in that sort of sense. But he was his friend. He didn't want
him. He wanted to pay him a tribute.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Kai,
yes,
you're talking about
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
I've been watching him basically since he was drafted, and then I went back and watched his college films at Penn State, and I realized not Penn State, but
that's what he does.
That's hilarious.
I was just watching it, and then I realized that the way he runs, it can help me show what I can do to help my game in the long shot. So that's one of the main reasons why I like him a lot.
Yeah, we were talking about natural athletes earlier, and Kai is absolutely, at 5 years old, I saw a natural running back. I said, Derek, your son's got the hips, he's got the feet, he's got the power, he has the speed, he has every gift that you would want to be able to run the football. And for him to pick Saquon as someone to emulate is very, very bright and very smart of Kai, because they have a very similar running style. And Saquon has great balance, and he looks like a dancer out there. He can pirouette and spin and just do exciting things. And Kai's got all that stuff. So keep watching him, because he could play like him someday for sure.
And it's just natural, because I've never been on a football field. Never. So it's just like, it's just in you.
Yeah,
baby.
Kai walked on the field.
But
he had it.
But you had
one. And Derek, and I think that's what Derek and I argued a little bit about that day. He goes, you know, Nick, Kai can really throw the ball. He's got a great arm. I said, he does, Derek. He has a great arm. I said, but we could start all over and start learning quarterback right now. But he has special gifts at running back. I said, he can play anything he wants. He could play any position in any sport he wants to. But he might be special. He might be a difference maker at this position. So don't you know, move away from it too quickly.
Well, quarterbacks are now running more.
Absolutely. Well, they better.
Yeah, all right.
Yep.
said, with the quarterbacks running, when you have people like Cam Newton and like Lamar Jackson and all the new rookies playing quarterback, they can just run the ball, and the quarterbacks do run a lot more now than like a year, 5 years ago.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. They do run more, but NFL would prefer a quarterback who can prefer to pass more than run, but they have the ability to run. They
Why
don't
do you think
want
that
a running
is? Why
quarterback.
Do they want that?
Because a running quarterback could get hurt very extremely.
It's injuries. Yeah.
Like,
but college football, you can be more of a dual threat player.
Exactly.
You, know,
like,
you have a little more opportunity to do that, and then you can go be a doctor after college.
Yeah. The pro game and college game are totally different.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
You got an arm to bring up the Buckeyes again, Dwayne Haskins. In the NFL, they're going to want Haskins because he's got that arm. The arm is so crazy. It looks like he's shooting a laser beam out of his shoulder. He's just
How tall is
40
he?
Yards downfield. He's
Haskins
a good
6'3", 6'4".
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good size.
He's prototypical.
Okay.
He looks like the next Tom Brady to me. I think Haskins is
Except he went to a much better college than Michigan.
Absolutely, Kai. He did. Go to a much finer university.
Yeah, very well-educated.
Well-educated
Handsome
man.
Handsome people come out of that.
No. When asked why he went to Ohio State, he probably said he went to high school.
There's a great video of Dwayne Haskins. And he's 10 years old visiting Ohio State, and he's walking around the athletic facility. And he looks around and he looks at his dad and he goes, I want to play quarterback here someday.
Wow.
And they show it all the time on games. It is an unbelievable video you should check out. The quarterback for Ohio State at 10 years old calling his shot.
Wow.
With video to the head coach of Ohio State at the time, Jim.
What a vision.
Emmett Smith did that. He wrote goals down
in
high school, put it in his locker, kept it there. And he attained all of those goals.
Right on.
You know?
If you're going to build a rocket ship to the moon, you got to dream about it first.
Absolutely. Ask Elon Musk.
Yep.
So, Coach Nick, talk about the patience.
Yes,
that
there
you...
it is. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. Patience. The kids do get in trouble at school sometimes. They get in trouble with their parents sometimes. Their parents have incredibly busy lives and can't always get to practice when I would like them to be there. Or they might show up a little late for a game and... Boy, I really need your son because he's the quarterback. So.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, parents have other children and they have other activities and traffic in Los Angeles is no joke. Mm-hmm. So patience is absolutely number one. There are times when the kids will come out and they will be focused and ready to play. And there's times they'll come out and they'll had a sleepover the night before and been playing video games and eating, you know, sugar cereals. So I don't get the same... boys, even though they're the same boys every game. So patience and love, you know, are the intangibles I think that you got to bring to the court or the field.
And Kai, what do you think you as an athlete, what do you think are the top things that an athlete needs?
I think they need healthy food the night before any game. A coach that can really relate to them in a way so they can feel like they can always have an extra person to count on, along with stuff like making sure that you're not slacking off if you want to be a pro athlete. So keeping the dedication into any sport that you play.
That's my guy right there.
Yeah, we always talk about the importance of nutrition, like, you know, really taking care of self, taking care of your body is really, really important because it all starts there.
Yeah.
And then we move into those other areas. Yeah.
And Sam, what do you think is important for an athlete to have?
Well, I think something important that an athlete has to have is hard work, because if, let's say, you're not the most skilled player, you have to have hard work so you can become gradually better. You have to have dedication so you can be devoted to that sport that you play, and that you have to have a tiny bit of skill. You can't be 3 feet tall and play tackle football.
Yeah. You have to find your sport.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be football and basketball. We have, you know, 1,000 great sports out there.
From soccer.
Water skiing to tennis.
Right. But that's what we were talking about as well. There's so many things. If you can't be that pro athlete,
There's so many ways you can still be in the game. Yeah. You can be a sports analyst.
An agent. Exactly. You can represent the athlete.
Right.
Yeah. A lawyer. There's so many ways that you can exactly.
The business of sports is huge.
It's business. Sports is business.
Exactly.
That's the business I want to be in.
Right. Same.
Right.
And Derek, yes, as a parent, what are the top, I'm going to say coping skills. What are the skills you need as a parent with a child that's on the field?
As we were stating earlier, you know, it's really important preparing Kai to perform, rest, nutrition, understanding that he is a part of a team, you know, bringing the right attitude to his teammates, because that if your energy is sort of off, I think it can affect the whole dynamic of the team. So a positive attitude is really, really important.
Derek, we have so many good athletes on our team. What's it like to be in the stands with all the other families? Because
good question. Are you broadcasting? Good time.
Well, I don't get to spend that time with all the other families. I'm usually, on the sideline with the guys. So
that's a very good question. I mean, and as Nick,
what's the dynamic like?
It's incredible. You know,
does everybody get along?
We get along really well. Yeah. And we've known each other for a little while now, and just to watch our kids progress from year to year, it's just a sight to see. I really, really, really sincerely enjoy being around the parents who my son plays plays with their kids. They're fantastic, and they're interesting. You know, they all come from different walks of life, so they all bring something different to the table. And I really enjoy them. And if I didn't enjoy them, I wouldn't want to be around them.
You cheer for their kids like they're your own kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's, we're part of the team too.
Right.
Now, some are a little bit more vocal than others. You know, we gotta calm down.
Mm-hmm. We got some screamers.
Yeah. We have our screamers though. But that scream is, it's love. It's passion. Yeah. They want to see their kids do well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not coming from a bad place at all. It's coming from a good place.
And we talk about that too, in terms of our winning and our success, and, you know, our group, our family coming into the stands is trying to create a presence as well. It's like a football team bringing their marching band.
Absolutely. You know,
we want to announce our arrival when we come into the gym. So
absolutely.
Well,
it's part of all the things we do.
Yeah. I come from a small town where every Friday night it's football.
Yep. Yeah.
We're all there.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's a family affair.
Yeah.
We all were out there watching.
And if, I'm assuming, and if that family is not there, then you want to check in. Where are you? Is everything all right?
Right.
You're supposed to, you should be here. So,
well, this was before cell phones. So,
Well,
that's what the marching band is for. The drum
absolutely.
Is to signal everybody.
Yeah.
It's time to get going.
I can honestly say I haven't had a problem with the families that the kids have been playing together with for a long time. Now, when Kai was playing tackle, there was one parent, you know, he rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't really, really dig him, so to speak. You know, he had said something. This is when Kai was playing tackle. And he said something to me. He said, and another child was right there, I want you to take your foot and mash your foot into the opposing kid's head.
Mm.
And I said to him, you know, maybe I can't say what I really said to him on air, but I said, I mean, that was shocking to me. I was like, so what you want to do is you want to hurt a kid from our opposing team. That's what you really want to do. That's what this is about. These are 9-year-olds, man. You can't do that. And that turned me off completely. I don't have that with these families.
Yeah.
No, it's about the kids having a good time. And, yeah, I love them. Yeah, good people. Great people.
We've covered so much. You guys are so awesome.
LaFern, can we ask you a question? Who are your favorite athletes and what are your favorite sports?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
That's going to say a lot about you, my friend. Basketball.
LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Good choice. LeBron.
Have you interviewed him?
No, I wait. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Right?
I love his drive. I love how he plays. I admire his ethics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the voice of his generation. I mean, what he does on the field is unmatched, but I like what he does off the field too. And he's not afraid to use his platform.
Exactly.
I like that.
And for me, it's about family. He's always talking about his family, and I mean, I love that, but I love how he plays. I just love everything about him.
Yeah.
And I think he married his sweetheart, and he put his boys in positions of power. Yes. He brought his friends along for the ride, and they changed the whole game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
And they have developed and become brilliant business executives as well. Rich Paul is now on the board of directors at Live Nation. Mm. So
they're doing big things.
You guys remember that when one of you makes it to the big time.
Take your buddies along for the ride.
You had some help along the way with your friends and your family.
And for football, I always say John Elway, because he always made a way out of no way, I feel.
And well, as a longtime Browns fan, that one
that one rubs
cuts
wrong.
A little deep, LaFern, but he was a heck of a football player.
Right.
Yeah. But
that's how I like approach life. You know, well, there is a block. Okay, how am I going to maneuver around this?
Yeah.
And even when you're like 5 seconds and you're losing, everyone has written you off.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and he turns it around.
That's right.
And that's how
you approach life.
I approach life.
Right. He lost three Super Bowls before he won two.
Oh, okay.
He came back.
Okay, I thought you were talking.
They thought his career, you know, was kind of on the downslope.
Yeah.
And then at the end, right in the final moments, he won two Super Bowls and rode off a legend. So it's perseverance, guys.
Yes.
That's what we always tell them.
Sam, what advice would you give to someone coming into the sport?
Work hard, be dedicated, and find the sport you love and you're good at. Because I think if you have hard work and dedication for a sport and you don't love it, though, then you might not succeed as well as if you love a sport and you're not as good, though, but you still have that hard work, drive, dedication, and you love it, you could be better than with the sport that you don't like.
And Kai, I'm going to ask you a different question.
Oh.
If Brady retires.
Yeah! Thank you. I've been waiting.
Will Belichick still win? Are they together, or?
I think it's Belichick telling Brady what to do and then Brady just executing it a little bit better. So if he brings in a different quarterback, he won't have that same connection that he has with Tom Brady. The same bond as he had with Tom Brady.
And here's the thing with Belichick. Before he was with the Patriots,
He
got fired from the Browns. Like, that's tough.
That's sad.
No, that's pretty easy to do, actually. I think
it is.
The Browns do a lot of firing.
I mean, but that's hard. Like, how do you get fired from the Browns? Sorry, but you kind of have to be reasonable. But
Kai, you went to the West Point, or you went to the Army-Navy game last week, huh?
Yes,
I
did.
Is that pretty neat?
It was pretty fun.
Pretty cool to see our soldiers and sailors playing some football.
Yeah.
Very. My grandpa went to West Point, so I went with my grandpa, my two cousins, and then my aunt's boyfriend who was in the Navy. So it was all of us versus, like, him. So, like, on the trip, we went to the West Point Academy, and all around the stadium, it was beat Army, beat Air Force.
Yeah. Coach Nick, can you give us some top tips for being a coach and being the mentor that you are?
Yeah, I think you want to approach it with love, first and foremost. You have to really, you know, care about the kids and care about the families and want to see them be successful. I think you have to work hard and you have to treat it like a real thing. You know, these kids deserve to be treated with respect, and they put in a lot of hard work and time. So it's important for you to show up prepared and ready to coach them and not just be on your phone and goofing around and wasting everybody's time. You know, I think, as I always say, just win, baby.
Actually, LaFern, we have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think Kareem Hunt can make his way back into the NFL?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were just discussing that while you were talking, Dad. And what we're thinking is, well, we first want to know what you think, but what we think is that Kareem is going to get back into the league, but maybe in like a year or two, but I don't think he's going to be back on the Chiefs. He's going to be like kind of a Marshawn Lynch story.
Take a deep breath. Heavy one, Laferne, for 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
Give it to him straight.
Do you think he deserves to be back on the team?
No.
I don't think he deserves to be back on the team.
But he will.
Not on the Chiefs specifically. but a team will probably pick him up to get a better run game in.
Cause... Share a story. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't know, Dad?
You don't know about Hunt?
Okay, there was a domestic violence incident with him and a young woman in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, like, February.
And it's ugly.
Okay.
And it's terrible. And violence in any form is wrong.
Yeah.
Violence against women.
But I don't think either of them had the right to do what they did.
What do you mean?
She was kind of, I think they were both drunk, or at least this is what I've heard, and they were both drunk, and they were both crazy at that time.
But that still doesn't make it right.
Situation, it never makes it right. Ever.
What we were all talking about today, what you do on and off the field matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you...
And that could change a man's... And that could change someone's career forever.
Right. So what choices you make now or in the future, it has a direct effect to
everything else, people
around you. I hope that they both learn from this experience. I feel that every experience that we have, we learn from. And there are also rules in place to protect. And if you break those rules, there are consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So violence against anyone, I don't agree.
It's sad. It's complicated. These adult issues sometimes are difficult for all of us to deal with, the grown-ups and the kids.
And like you said, too, it's a choice. And a lot of times when you make these choices, and sometimes people hide behind, you know, the excuse is usually everyone makes mistakes. Sometimes you have to be very careful in what it is with your mistakes and
Which
your choice.
Mistake?
Once you hit somebody,
cross the line.
They cross the line. Thank you for
even if they play football again, that almost doesn't matter, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they ever play sports or professional sports again isn't the issue. They did something wrong, or Kareem in this case did something wrong, and he deserves to be punished. And you hope he learned something, and you hope he comes back from it. But he deserves to have some tough times ahead of him for
what
he did. He deserves some punishment.
That's someone's sister. That's someone's daughter. But you know,
that's what I'm thinking.
But you pray for everybody in that situation.
This is not about football.
And hope to have good thoughts that something can.
We hope he learns from it. We hope he fixes it. We hope he does everything to make it a tiny bit better. But it won't be better. But I hope he has a bright future. But it's not going to be the same if he didn't do that.
Yeah. And along with this, I think that even if you're an athlete or you're not an athlete and you have violent behavior, you have to really look within yourself and figure out, well, why do I have these violent behaviors?
Yeah.
What in my past or what in me is creating this situation? And how can I get the help I need so I am not hurting other people?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anger is an awful, insidious thing that you can't let live inside of you.
And there's help out there to address that.
Yep.
You know, you got to manage that. You got to get that under control, whether it's the football field or anywhere. You know, the difference, me, I'm putting my hands. You know, Dad, I'm not generating the kind of revenue that he does, but I'm still, you know, I just can't go out and just start punching people in the face. I'm going to get in trouble.
Right.
For that.
Just because he's an athlete doesn't mean he gets some kind of special exception or privilege. And to think more about him in this instant than the young woman.
Separate the athlete from.
You have to consider both parties, not just Kareem, because you know him as a famous athlete.
But then there's also that, which we didn't talk about, is that some people can't separate themselves from their career.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a human being.
Absolutely.
First,
that's where it starts.
And a human being that plays football.
That's it.
You know.
That's all there is to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
and when you're playing football, you have to make good choices when you're in that sort of spotlight because you're being watched. And if you have some sort of issue, you got to get that under control.
Yeah. Thanks for that question.
I was like,
wow. Wow. Very
young thoughtful. People are exposed to a lot these days. And so that's part of coaching as well, is giving thoughtful answers to tough questions.
Right.
Because as adults, we don't have the answers or we wouldn't have these problems. So. Right.
Yeah. And we just have one more little thing. It's not that heavy.
It's not that bad. Okay. It's what will happen with Patrick Mahomes.
Do you think he's going to have a bright future, win championships, be Joe Montana, or would you say he's more of a beginner's luck?
I think there's a great possibility for him to be great.
I would agree.
You know,
I would definitely agree on that.
Yeah. Mahomes is my second favorite quarterback in the league right now.
He's having a breakout year.
These guys jump on the bandwagon.
I'm a diehard Rams fan. Number one is Goff. All right.
You were a Cowboys fan this summer, so.
Yeah. Call the shots, whatever.
Come on, Sam.
He was just named the Associated Press top quarterback of 2018.
Wow.
Really, just now?
Yeah, well, 19 hours ago.
I didn't know that.
Now we were sleeping before.
Yeah, right.
Now, if he does this again next year, then you can become a fan. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Thoris. Now, Coach.
Yes.
You've been training me for a few months now.
Mm-hmm.
What are some tips you can provide for the new year for us? In,
well, thank you for asking that question. Really important. You want to stay active and don't, you know, everyone's New Year's resolution, it's a spike in the fitness industry, is to get in shape.
But it's a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle.
It's just not the New Year's. It's
it's not a New Year's resolution. It's a daily resolution. Really important to, you know, take care of your body with, feed it well.
Mm-hmm.
So the proper nutrition, as we stated earlier, is really, really important. You want to make sure that you're eating really good food, whole food. If it's grown, it's probably good for you. If it's not, it's probably processed. So you want to stay away from processed food. You know, keep it really, really simple. And you want to move. Figure out what really works for you. A walk. You know, if you don't like to run, just stay active. Move. Grab a buddy. Grab someone if you don't like to do that on your own. And just be consistent. Make sure you're getting enough rest. If you're not resting well, how can the body heal? So rest is really, really important. Stress kicks in. Make sure that you're managing your stress well. And when you are stressed, that tends to trigger, you know, eating. We reach for salt and sugar. So really manage that really, really well. Parents, wine. Yeah, wine is. Yeah.
You see how simple all these things are, though? And if we would just listen to smart people like that, eat well, sleep, walk a little bit.
Yeah, just move. A little bit of exercise, 30 minutes a day, man, is really, really good. Just walk. Take your kids with you and, you know, get your family involved in that 30 minutes. But get yourself some rest. You know, there will be days you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's key. Staying active, eating the right food, managing your stress. Again, it's a lot to process. And drinking enough water.
How can people get in touch with you?
You can reach me. I'm on Instagram.
On the gram.
At Derek SKG. My email address is DerekMatthew08@gmail.com. That's how you can reach me.
All right, cool.
You want to start your new year off right? Hire me. Ask the host. I'm good at this.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys so much. Derek, Matthews, D. Smooth, Kai, Sam, and Coach of the Year, Nick Middlesworth.
Thank you, LaFern.
We've had a great time.
Thanks for jumping in.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day and a great holiday.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing you next year.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Go Buckeyes.
You had to get that in. All right. I'm LaFern Cusack. This is ESPN LA.